With that, guys, let's jump in to our Christmas celebration. Amen? Amen? So Joel said it first, but I'll say it second. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Tomorrow is Christmas, and I just said to Alicia, I think it was this morning, or it was last night, it just kind of feels odd that Christmas is already here. Like, we've had everything ready in our house, we've got everything ready to go, and it just feels that this year has gone by so incredibly fast. And if you didn't know, we're already gaining minutes back to our days, right? Like, and of course, Alicia says, well, the coldest months are still ahead of us. Listen, I care about more daylight than I do the temperature outside. But this year's just flown by. And so Christmas is tomorrow, and I hope that you get to be with your loved ones. I hope that you get to spend time with those that you love dearest for Christmas. And I hope this morning that you came early and you joined us for a delicious breakfast this morning. Absolute amazing breakfast that everybody made, so thank you for that. My name is Pastor Mike. If you don't know me, now you do. If I don't know you, I'd like to meet you before service, before we dismiss today. And I want you to know that it is my distinct honor, it is my distinct privilege to be able to stand up here this morning and share the Word of God with you. We're going to put a bow, if you will, on our sermon series today. Today we celebrate Emmanuel's arrival. Emmanuel's arrival and the implications that it has on us today. The birth of Jesus is the promise of God fulfilled. A Savior who was born, our Redeemer, and through His birth, He invites us to embrace new life in Him. How awesome is it that we had seven people to declare their new life in Him this morning? If you would, let me invite you to open your Bibles this morning. And I hope you brought your Bible or someone next to you has one that you can look on with. If not, I've got it on the overhead for you. We will be in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. It says this, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you great news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is what? Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Jesus' birth is the gift that we all celebrate tomorrow. We all get to celebrate His birth. And the angel, how did the angel declare who this was? He didn't say, Jesus is here, did he? I don't know if the angel was boy or girl. Maybe I said he. But the angel said in verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. See, God makes Himself fully known through Jesus Christ. He reveals Himself as our Redeemer, the forgiver of our sins, and the Lord of our life by saying He is the Savior, Christ the Lord. What if He would have just said His name's Bob? What would that have meant? That His name was Bob, right? Instead, the angel comes and he says, it is a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. Emmanuel, God with us, is not just a historical event. It's not just something we read about today and go about and do all of our Christmas festivities tomorrow and never remember what actually took place. And it wasn't just a historical event, but God is with us here and now. God is with us here and now in this present moment. He is always with us. See, Jesus' birth, His life, it was and still is to do what? To reconcile us to God. To be Savior. To be Christ the Lord. To raise us to new life. Their shirts raised to new life. It's not a historical event. It's something that takes place right here and now, today. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. You can write this down and look at it later if you'd like, but let me read it to you. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law. This is key. Why was He born under the law? To redeem those who were under the law. Who was under the law? Each and every single one of us. So that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. See, when we receive adoptions as sons or daughters, we can be confident that God is with us. We can be confident through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus' Spirit, living within us, that God is with us. See, when Jesus was born, was He widely known? No. Besides the angels showing up and praising with the heaven, which there's never been another recorded incident of that ever happening, mind you. But amongst the people, the birth of Jesus was not widely known. It wasn't like today's world when England's royal family has another child and they think we all care and we want to know about it. They make sure the whole world knows that they're having another baby. Listen, besides the angels, there wasn't a whole lot of pomp and circumstance around Jesus' birth. It was a pretty bleak birth of a child. He was born, and if we want to look at the truth of it, we think it's all cute, oh, He's born in a manger, we got the manger scene. Do you know that He was probably born in a cave? It wasn't like we make the scenes out today. It was likely a cave where they kept animals. It was where they had their animals at. And it was a feeding trough. Manger was a feeding trough. So there was likely some grain and some horse slobber in the trough that they laid baby Jesus in. How many new moms want to lay their baby in such a condition? In a very small town, surrounded by animals, came this new life that we celebrate. Yet this new life would change the world as it was known forever. He'll change your life as you know it forever. Just because Jesus was born, listen, this is important. Just because Jesus was born does not mean that everyone accepted Jesus. Just because He was announced and He was born, not everyone accepted Him as Jesus, as the Messiah. Not everyone accepted Him as Jesus the Savior or Christ the Lord. In fact, if you read in Matthew, what did King Herod want to do? He wanted to kill him. Because when the wise men came, they said, "We're here to find the king of the Jews." Well, that was a threat to King Herod's throne. And so he wanted to kill this king of the Jews. But still to this day, people don't want to accept that Jesus is, and I have that in caps lock for is, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is Christ the Lord. Throughout Jesus' life, we see many things around his life. We see that he was doubted. Was his power and authority as God's Son doubted? We see him questioned. We see him challenged many times by the religious leaders and those who were in authority because he was a threat to their way of life. We even see examples of every day, and I put in quotations, by no means is this meant to be offensive. If you take this offensively, I'm sorry. But we see examples of everyday common people leaving his side because of his radical teaching. We see in John 6, verse 66, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Listen, just because Jesus was born doesn't mean we know him. There's a difference between knowing about him and knowing him. I think everyone in the United States probably knows about Jesus. And that same crowd that says, "Yep, we know Jesus," a large percentage probably don't actually know who Jesus is. So there is a difference between knowing about him and knowing him. In fact, after Jesus' resurrection, we see that the disciples finally understood everything. So they knew Jesus. They're the ones that were on the ground floor with him. They went through everything with him. They saw all the miracles. He sent them out to go work. And even his disciples, it took until after Jesus' resurrection that they understood everything that Jesus was teaching them. It took until then, until they realized that Christ was the Lord. We see this in John chapter 12, verse 16. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. What we need to know today is he really was, and he really is Christ the Lord. Jesus was born to bring us new life. He brought us new life through his death and his resurrection. And guess what? We can be reconciled through him to God. We can be reconciled in our relationship with God because of Jesus. We can have a new life. And because we can have this new life, we had seven individuals who said, "Hey, we want to publicly declare our belief in Jesus and have new life in Jesus this morning." And they've declared that they've accepted his sacrifice for their sins, that he is Lord, and that he is crucial in every day and every aspect of their life. These seven today are just an example of what it means to be raised to new life in Christ Jesus. Now here's the good part. If you're here this morning and you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you've been baptized before and you have said, "You know, I believe in Jesus, I believe that he died and rose again, and he is Lord of my life," you have been raised to new life. You have experienced new life. But what does this new life mean? How do we live this new life? How do we do all of this? Well, we have been born again. We have been born again as children of God. Our minds and our hearts, instead of being in rebellion against God, have been brought into line through Christ. We have been brought to salvation, which was God's desire for us always, to be brought back to salvation. As believers, as born-again believers, as those who have experienced new life, you no longer need to fear death. You no longer need to fear anything bad that can happen to you. Why? Because you have eternal life with God in heaven. Why do we care about the bad things that happen when we're plucked from this life? Where are we going to be? In glory with Jesus. Yes, you will miss those who have left, but guess what? If they are a Christian, they will be in glory with Jesus. While everything can be taken away from us on this earth, literally anything and everything can be taken away from you. But here's what can't be: your eternity. So I can lose everything I own. I can lose my health. I can lose my life. But here's what I haven't lost: my eternity with Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me ask you this morning, do you have new life? Do you have new life today? See, when we have this new life, it changes our entire perspective. It changes our focus on everything. Instead of worrying about the concerns of the world, because who knows, we have lots of concerns in this world. Guess what? They don't last. They don't last. We can focus on matters of eternal significance: faith, hope, and love of God, and love of neighbor. And did you know, even though we have new life, it is not possible for us to live the way that God wants on our own? Anyone tried it? Doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's through the Holy Spirit being present in our lives that guides us, that helps us. It's by picking up our Bible. Guess what? We're gonna hand out next week a Bible reading plan, a chronological Bible reading plan that we're going to start on January 1st. You can choose to take part in it. You don't have to. It's whatever you want to do. But it's by picking up our Bible every single day, being in the Word and consuming that Word. And like I shared with Jerry this morning, you guys didn't get to see it. I got to see it. When he climbed down into that tank, Johnny or Jerry, I hope I'm not embarrassing you, he had tears rolling down his face. Hallelujah. He's been consuming the Word of God, and the Spirit of God has changed him so to the point where he has recognized that I need to step into this new life with Jesus. That is a life that has been changed by God. And everybody else as well. But what I'm getting at is he is made sure that he is in the Word daily. He is reading the Word of God and letting it change his life day by day by day. It's also through prayer. For those of you that are married and maybe you have a significant other, if you never spoke, how good is that relationship? Now, if you've been married 40 years, you might say it's actually pretty good if we don't speak. Listen, you're wrong. We'll have marriage counseling in a couple of weeks. But really and truly, if you don't ever speak to your significant other, how good is that relationship? If something happens and you don't address it and you let it fester, what happens in our own minds? Exactly. Dean just goes like, right? It gets blown out of proportion. And all of a sudden we start to harbor anger and ill feelings and now we don't want to talk to him even more. I'll show them. I won't talk to him. Listen. The same thing happens when we're not in daily communion with the Lord. Lastly, it's by submitting ourselves to His plan. This can be one of the most challenging things because when we go through, so I remember when I was in high school, our guidance counselor was coming in, I don't know, seventh grade. Because seventh grade was a different building. And already wanted to ask us what we wanted to be when we grew up. As a seventh grader, I just wanted to have a good time. We had no concept of paying bills yet. Did they teach you how to pay bills in seventh grade? No. How do you choose what you want to be until you know what your bills are, right? I mean, come on. I have no idea, right? But we're taught, I'm saying all of that to say that we are taught to have a plan. My plan was to become a wildlife conservation officer. I wanted to be out in Wyoming, part of the Wyoming DNR. Where am I at today? Yeah. Went to college, dropped out of college, paid for college without having a college degree. Listen, God's got a better plan. And if we're not willing to submit to that plan, we might miss the very best of what He has for our life. He determines what our life is. He determines what our new life is. See, the birth of Jesus forever changed the world. Here's what it did. It undid sin and death's power over man's life. And it gave hope and it gave life. So as we celebrate Christmas tomorrow, listen, all month I've been saying Merry Christmas every time I've gotten up here with this sermon series. We have a reason to celebrate because the birth of Jesus defeated sin and death. It was the beginning of the end of Satan's hold over this world. And because of that, today, you have hope. You have a new life. And what is your hope? Your hope is to one day be in heaven in glory with Jesus. With all the troubles of this world behind you, guess what? Your troubles don't follow you when you go to heaven.
Amen.
Scripture tells us there's no more tears. So what does that mean? That means I stand in the presence of Jesus and nothing but worship and praise come out of my mouth because of what He has done. Sounds like a pretty good time. You have hope. And you have a new life. And I encourage you today, don't let tomorrow go by without taking time to reflect on exactly what Jesus did for you. Because what would the trajectory of your life be like today? Look back to when you stepped into... Pretend that your relationship with Jesus never happened. Where would you be today? I'd be in a gutter somewhere. Where would you be? Would you have hope? No. Maybe hope for the next meal, the next promotion, the next... But it's never fully satisfied. It's through Jesus that our hope is satisfied. Those who were baptized today, they outwardly declared that they belong to Jesus, that they have experienced His forgiveness, and that they have received new life. And if you've done the same as them in the past, you have eternal hope.
Amen.
This is the good news. This is why Jesus was born. So, church, Joel, if you want to come on up. This is what engaging our community is about. The whole aspect of today brings us to this point. It's people hearing the gospel message. That's the first thing. The second is they respond to the gospel message. They are brought into relationship with the Lord. They are in the church. And like today, they declare publicly that they have been raised to new life. This is the gospel, and this is what engaging our community for Jesus looks like.
Amen.
You just saw a full 360 of what this vision is for this church. So as we celebrate Jesus' birthday tomorrow with our friends and our family, let us remember our new life. Let us remember that without Him, this life isn't possible.
That's right. Amen.
We have new life. Because of Emmanuel's arrival. When the fullness of time came, God sent Jesus to be born of a woman. To free those who are under the law. Church, you are no longer under the law. The greatest news. If you guys would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me this morning? I have a question for you, and I'd like you to answer this amongst yourself. Do you need new life? Do you need new life today? Jesus came to give you new life through a relationship with Him. What we need to understand is we don't have access to heaven. We cannot make it to heaven without Jesus. Because Jesus is the key to the whole thing. And His birth, He came. This very purpose of Him coming was to reconcile us to God through the forgiveness of our sins. The Bible is very clear. It says to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. You will have a new life. You will have eternal hope. So my question goes back to, do you need new life this morning? If that's you, with every eye closed and head bowed, if that's you this morning, and you want to experience a new life, would you just raise your hand this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Amen. Church, would you say this prayer with me? Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner that needs you. I believe that you died and rose again for my sins. So please forgive the sins that I know and maybe the ones that I'm not aware of yet. I pray that you would come into my life, that you would change me, that you would give me new life, that you would give me this eternal hope. I commit myself to you from this day forward. Use me, change me. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We had two people raise their hands to give their life to Christ. So here's, for those of you who raised your hand, and I'm not going to look up because I don't want to make eye contact in case you're not comfortable. Here's what you need to do. You need to tell somebody. The most important thing you can do with this today, with this new relationship, is to say, I stepped into a relationship with Jesus. In fact, would you, when before you leave here today, you talk to one of those that have the Raise to Life shirt and say, I decided to step into a relationship with Jesus today. And then the next important thing for you to do is to get into your Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, please let me know so we can get you a Bible and we will start you in the book of John. So church, today we have very much to be thankful for. We have very much to be thankful for. Our own new life in Christ. The fact that He was born, that He came to save us, and we also have a reason to celebrate because we had seven people who declared their faith in Him today. So as we close in a song, as we close out our Christmas sermon series and the service, let's take some time and let's make sure we give God all the glory and all the honor that He deserves. So while we sing, I also want to be available. If you need prayer this morning, Norm, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'd love to pray with you this morning. I know several people who would like to pray with you this morning. I know that we've had some experience loss. I know we have those that are sick, that are hurting. We want to pray for you. Listen, if you didn't hear me, we want to pray with you. The most important thing we can do as a body of Christ is to lay hands on those that need healing, that need a touch from God, and that need His comfort. So as we sing, if you want prayer, if you need prayer, would you please come to the altar so we can pray with you? And lastly, guess what? You don't have to stay in your seats to worship God. You can get out in the aisle and dance because if God deserves all the glory and honor, what does that look like, church? Oh, I'm getting things uncomfortable now, aren't I? If you have new life, you have eternal hope, there is a reason for you to declare God's goodness and give Him all the honor this morning. Amen? Let's stand to our feet this morning.